figure out. Put that somewhere where you won't touch it.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just have a word of prayer, shall we, for the remaining time. Our time is running short. We don't have a lot of time. Amen. Father, we just pray that all that has been fragments of bread that have been given would be gathered together now and bound.
Yeah.
We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've been doing in these gatherings, Father. And so, Lord, we're not just here to project ourselves or doctrine or personality, but we're here to project you. And so, Lord, we just ask that you will tie all the loose ends together. And, Lord, that you would bless the saints. That you encourage those of us, Lord, that have come a great distance to hear your voice. We thank you for what has been spoken. And we pray, Lord, that what we say today would not take away, but it would add to what you're doing. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. If you could turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. And the Lord is doing some great things these days. And for a number of years ago, I discovered the real purpose of the Lord. And, you know, you find ministry in the body of Christ that have their specialties. Just like you have specialists. There's certain ministries that they get stuck in a certain area. Sometimes the Lord has given them a genuine dispensation of the gospel. But then there's other times we become rigid on a certain area. And I find that today I just want to preach Christ. And I want to be surrounded by those that are ministering him. I'm certainly glad to be in a conference like this, that we're not here to expand our doctrinal knowledge. We're not here to exalt any personality or ministry above another, but that we can minister Jesus. And I know in many circles people teach we need the liberty, we need to be ourselves, and that is, of course, coming from the secular world. But I do believe that the Lord has a word for us in this hour. And I believe that any particular word of the Spirit should produce a move of God. I wish there would have been a little room after Gary spoke yesterday, because I was in the crying mood too. But we didn't have that. We always feel that preaching, and then we follow a teaching, and then another preaching. But I believe the Lord wants to change that at CMF. I think we need to become more open to the move of God. And we don't need to come to an altar. It's not much of an altar to come to here. But we can certainly cry out to God in our seats. I feel overall the Lord is working toward a recovering to the cross. We heard a recovering to a deep cry for the Lord. And last night, being a leader in God's among God's people, a deep cry to be in that inner chamber, not so much just to become more spiritual, but to be able to come into a realm of dedication and consecration so that we can intercede for God's people in this hour. And so I would just want to continue along the lines of recovery. The messages are all different. They're all different, but I think they're all pointing for the same thing. The book of Jeremiah is not just a book of judgment. It's a book of recovery. And I believe that God is in the process of bringing recovery today. And we look in Jeremiah 29, verse 8 to 10. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to you dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, and I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years will be accomplished, Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. And what we find that this particular word that is given by the prophet, there's a background, a scenario background here, We find, first of all, that there was a number of false prophets that began to prophesy that they would not be going into captivity. And false prophets have a way of modifying the word. After, when they see that it doesn't come to pass, they change it up. And so they found out they were wrong. And so Jude ends up going for 70 years. And then another guy is raised up. And he says, no, what I meant to say was it'll be 2 years you'll be in Babylon. But the word of God declares that it would be 70 years. But what I really appreciate about this is that God's word prevails over the false prophecy. Amen? And I think in this hour, that is one of the essence of the prophetic word. It's to identify the real word of God from that which isn't. And also to begin to move God's people toward the place of recovery. And let me know, we badly need recovery in this hour. And today I want to talk a little bit about searching and recovery, because the Lord is searching out his people today. And there is something that the Lord is desiring to do in us that would begin to release us and ignite us. And one of the things that I feel on my heart today is that the Lord wants to head off in some of our lives this thing that God is no longer searching after us or pursuing us. Disappointments come. We're mishandled by people. There's various things that happen in our walk with God. And somehow there's almost a giving up. That there's even a purpose for us anymore. How many have been there? You almost wonder, does God have anything for you anymore? But I believe that today that God desires a people that will search for the Lord. And the interesting thing is, many times there's something working in us, and it can be of what we've inherited because of our natural man, that wants to continually believe that somehow the Lord likes that person, or he's with that individual, but somehow he's not with me on my destination. And I believe today we see through the scripture a Lord who is searching for a man and searching for a people. And so I want to encourage us today that the Lord is searching us out. The word of God says he searches out the heart and the reins of man. The word of the Lord says he's searching in the earth for those that are searching for him. And I believe today that the Holy Spirit wants to work in a mighty way to begin to reignite in us a searching for the Lord like never before. I want to declare to you that searching for the Lord is different than praying to the Lord. That there's something of searching that has more of a price tag and has more of a God-centeredness in it than just praying to God, throwing up prayers to heaven, hoping something lands somewhere, hoping some angel catches it and passes it over to the Lord. But I believe that somehow God's desire is that we begin to be brought back to a true searching for God. And that there would be a totality of seeking him. And what has happened down through the years is that our searching has become undercut because our motives for being related to the Lord has been totally wrong. And ministers and Christian workers are often have to be in the front line, for often we put our ministry, we put our results, we put what we see and hear from our people as the criteria of the way God feels about us. But I want to declare something to you. God loves us regardless of what size congregation we have. Jesus started off with 12 and he only ended up with 120. And then how many know it multiplied after that? Jesus preached to thousands. And yet he didn't really have, I always say this, he actually pastored two churches, one at 12 in it and one at 3 in it. And so how many know that God doesn't want us to equate our value before God based on what the world bases it on? Amen. For the world looks for success, God looks for faithfulness. Looking in verse 11 and 13, and the Lord wants to begin to change our thinking. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I don't know about you, but I'm in this to give God my all.
Amen.
Amen. And what did Oswald Chambers say? My uttermost for his highest. For him.
Amen.
Everything for God. Nothing for us. And searching for him means this. That we are in total agreement with God's total thought and attention, which is far higher than our prayer life. That many times we know the purpose of God, and I've been taught the purpose of God for 40 years, either by the Lord, by the servants of God, reading the Word, and there's a lot in the Scripture that clearly defines the purpose of God. And yet it seems to say here that the Lord says, I know my thoughts toward you. And what really caused the creative Word of God to be sealed in Genesis was not just that God created, but that God looked upon what he created and said it was good. And good is the Anglo-Saxon word for God. And the only thing that is good in this hour is that which ushers out from him. I am wanting only that which is from him in this hour. One time I was in a church, a black church, and a brother started giving these $1 million anointings to people. And he said, you, Brother Gilardi, you're going to become a millionaire. And I looked at the wall because I had more faith with that wall to become a millionaire than me. He said, you, Brother Bert, catch that. I want the prosperity that God gives me.
Yes, amen.
God promises you prosperity of soul, in your soul. And then other things that come are fringe benefits. And God don't give us what we can't handle.
Amen.
And there's some of us that are poor because we need to be.
Amen.
Because blessed are the poor in spirit. And sometimes blessed poor in the pocketbook. But God knows exactly what we need when we need it.
Yes.
And there's something about the thought and the thinking of God that we need to begin to embrace. And we look at 14, it says, I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place where I've caused you to be carried away captive. And those of us who have studied the word know the word caused is speaking of an enabling grace that brings God's people out of captivity. I'm going to tell you something right now. It was the grace of God that brought them into captivity. Because God's discipline is the grace of God. And God will sometimes bring you into captivity to train you. But his grace will be with you. Hello, Joseph.
Amen.
God was with him. That's what, if you study the life of Joseph, you'll see that passage coming up many times. And God was with him.
Amen.
And God is with you and me today. And God calls you into captivity, and God knows when to call you out of captivity. And I love these scriptures. I will turn your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, and I will bring you into the land.
Amen.
The Lord is beginning to endorse in my spirit strongly that this is the hour of recovery.
Amen.
And that God is going to begin to peel back the veil off the church, and they're going to begin to see a God who's panting after them like they've never seen. And many times we've lost our pace with God because we do not believe that God is searching after us. The Bible says you leave the 99 and go after the one. And I believe that the Lord is about ready to turn back the veil from the church that we might begin to see a God who is beginning to search after us. He is pursuing us in a great way. And when I see that by the Spirit, there's going to be something within me that's going to make me want to give him everything. When we just had 13 fruitful days in Colombia, My wife and I had a wonderful time. Very tiring when a missionary lands on a foreign soil. They feel as if Jesus has returned. They feel you've got all the answers. For more, you have meetings in the morning, you have counseling all day, then you have meetings at night. Rick Vargas sent us an email and says, "Take a nap if when you can," and I took one, and that's all I got. Amen. But we know that the Lord would just, your brethren would come into your midst and you'd speak it. But one particular morning, I went to a church that I had never been before. And the Lord just strongly put upon my spirit a word of recovery. And it was one of those meetings you felt something special was going to happen. And there was just a special quickening. I had to preach an 8:30 meeting and then same message later on. And the pastor was very open to the Lord. And I knew I was going to the right place because the sister who brought me there said, "This is what the pastor's been preaching for weeks. It's all about transformation. And if you don't want to be transformed in this church, go somewhere else." And that somehow made me want to get there quicker. Because the Word of God does that. Amen? It'll either drive you to God or drive you out.
Yes, it will.
It's not going to leave you the same. The true Word of God. And something concerning David's life, especially the Ziklag experience, and the word and shared and the word was about how David recovered all. And basically how God will turn your failures and present situation into a success for God. And before the meeting started, I was told by my interpreter, "Your message will be heard on the radio in 6 cities in this country." Fulfilled a prophecy in my life. Because back in the college days, I used to, I basically had my batting order. I want to be a radio broadcaster. If that doesn't work out, I'll be a school teacher. And if those two don't work out, I'll preach. Something like St. Augustine said to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I want to commit, but not right now." And the whole desire. And the Lord's interrupted one of my broadcasts. 4 times in my life I've heard the audible voice of God. And God interrupted it and said, you'll speak on the radio for me one day. You'll do this for me. And I just assumed, well, probably I'm just going to end up being a preacher. It's not going to have anything to do with the radio. Then one time I preached for a church in Endicott. I walked in the door and the brother said to me, he says, "We're going to have a very controversial preacher preach on TV in our church tonight." I said, "Well, where's the TV?" He said, "Oh, you're on television tonight. The whole city of Binghamton's going to see this." And I had a secular job. And the next day I went in there and all these unsaved people came up to me and said how much they loved the message. I had 6 of them come up. Then I began to think, maybe this thing will happen with the radio. And I talked to the pastor after the service. I said, "You're telling me that I was on the radio today?" He said, "Yes." And he says, I have news for you. He says, "Brother, your message went to Argentina and Russia as well." Now, how many know Americans and Russians don't get along? But I'm going to tell you, it's wonderful to go to a couple countries without having to leave. That's what Jeremiah did. He's preaching all kinds of countries, but he wasn't getting there. No one can send you into a nation without an airline. And so what ended up happening is the word of the Lord went to these places. And it was a word of recovery. And God said to me, "I'm recovering the nations." Amen. We don't go to the nations for a vacation. Go to the Poconos, but don't go overseas. That's Rick and Lou. Don't go overseas for a vacation. Because it's not. Amen. And God is recovering in this hour. It says in verse 14, "He will gather out to bring us in." How many believe that? Now, I want to look in Luke 19. And I want to encourage us today. There's an interesting story here. And most people use this story for evangelism purposes. And if you use the Gospels just for that, you're missing it. But there's something that's about to take place in the church that I see needs to happen. In fact, it needs to happen in some ministry, young and old, that are sitting here today. There needs to be a fresh trip to the cross of Calvary, as we heard the other night. And we need to begin to see how God really thinks of us. Much of the infirmity that's in the church today is due to the fact of the way we think. Right? And the more you think about your sickness, the more you get sick. God's desire is to change our thought life. We can know the purposes of God, and yet our thinking could be wrong. And I love, when the true word of God comes down, it makes me want to walk real low. When the word of God is coming as it has been coming in this conference, it doesn't make me feel like I want to, that I can just jump up a mountain. It makes me say, Lord, whatever it is, whatever it's going to take, touch that in my life. Very touched by that message. I was touched by Gary's word, Mark's word. There was something there. Is this just going to be another conference where we come, we've heard some preaching, some of us have gotten a turn, some of us may not have gotten a turn. We come for a reunion to see our old friends, or is this a pivotal time? I say we have one more chance in this meeting to make it pivotal. Then when we go back to our area, there's something that has been turned in our lives. Yes. We need to be turned. And I don't want to miss an opportunity, because many of us need to turn in this hour. And I still, even as I stand here, have not fully received the reason I've been here. And I'm hoping by the word that I speak here today, that I myself will be very gripped by it. Amen. Because it has to start with us.
Amen.
Were you ever in a meeting? And I've been many conventions. But we need to be in a place where we're needy. Yes. To be able to receive something fresh of God.
Amen.
Time is going on, brother. The churches are staying in the same condition. Sometimes locally and across the world, God is calling upon us. Meanwhile, we're caught up with our church problems, and we're caught up with our family needs, many of us. And God says it's now time to get into the real purpose of God. One particular prophet said to another seasoned pastor, he said, I don't care about what's going on in your church. I'm more interested in what's going on in you. How are you reacting to your family concerns? Is that becoming your main idol? But what has recently come to your door? Has that been your preoccupation for months? Because those months can turn into years. What has been your preoccupation, man of God, woman of God? Have we gone back to the fishing nets? Going back to the old? That's never going to be the answer. The march is forward in this hour.
Amen.
It's not time to turn back. It's not time to let our disappointments put us in hold. Amen. And I believe what Gary was saying, that God is going to move toward the youth.
Yes.
There is a power and a demonstration of the Lord. And I tell you, this meeting, God wants to search you out. God is searching for a people that are searching for Him. And I'm so inspired by this story of Zacchaeus. You know, Adolf Hitler and Napoleon were short, but in their own eyes they were big men, and God brought them down fast. But here was a guy that was short, but inside he felt very little. And I believe there, and you know what? It's not going to take a fire and brimstone message to win this man, but there's an approach. Christ is going to reveal to this man what he really thinks of him. And I tell you, we need to know that today. We as the Church of Jesus Christ, especially those of us that are on the forefront of the battle, need to change our thinking. We begin to, it's good that we, and many times the Lord says to me, Brother Bert, you know my purposes. You've heard it over and over again. Sonship, the kingdom, whatever you want to call it. But what do you really think of what I think of you? Do you really see yourself as I see you? And I believe the Lord wants to change the thinking of the church. He wants to bring some of us down a few pegs. And He wants to bring a few of us up. Amen?
Amen.
And so in the church today, we have a lot of high and mighty people walking around. And half of them are in the pulpit. And they're the most miserable. There's nothing worse than being around a miserable preacher who's depressed. I've seen people that could preach a masterpiece sermon but be depressed the rest of the week. I'm going to tell you something right now. God wants our thinking changed.
Amen.
One brother said we need our brain saved. God wants to redeem us. Spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
Amen. You're laughing now, but I hope you're laughing on Monday when the dealings start. Praise God. But I'm telling you, there is something for the church that I see in this story. There's something. And Jesus is coming your way, my brethren.
Amen.
Some of us as hardened preachers. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Jesus is marching in this story. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And Jericho is a cursed place. And Jesus was redeemed us from the curse. And Jesus is passing through Jericho. And he's not there just to have a teaching seminar. He's not there to have a healing crusade. And Jesus is on the move, and he's in the direction of that tree. And I believe that that's why Jesus got up that day, was to meet this man. Thank God for the ministry to the one. I love that almost more than the pulpit. Amen. Because when you get a person one-on-one, you can really speak your heart. In a mixed multitude, you get some people say, I don't need it. Some people are amening but don't mean it. And there's a handful that when they shake their head, their heart is with it. I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus went through Jericho, the cursed place, for you and I. He redeemed us. He wants to come to visit us. He wants to return a thinking pattern back into God's servants, that he is with them and not against them. How many are glad for that? I'm telling you, you need to hear this, because there's coming a time that everything will look like you've done wrong. And God's saying today that you're in the perfect will of God, many of you. And there are many God's servants that are selling real estate in Florida. They've quit the ministry because they somewhere along the line they feel they missed it. And the only thing they missed was they needed their minds renewed. Brethren, regardless of what we have been facing, the hardship that you've had, all you need right now is a renewal of your mind. God does not want you to keep revisiting the past. What could have been? What wasn't?
Thank you, Lord.
What I did wrong. I wish I would handle that situation a little different.
Amen.
Brethren, I'm telling you, there's no guarantee those people will like you anyway. Brethren, you could have came dressed up in the best suit and had one of those TV smiles. And there's some people, no matter what you do for them, they're going.
That's right.
They're going. No matter what. And so we don't need to put on the disguises. We just need to be who we are in Christ. Jeremiah stands at the gate and all the old elders are walking in. You know, the guys that know everything. And Jeremiah, 17 or 18 years old, saying, you're going to Babylon, you theologian. And here they were. They're minding their own business. They're only going to church. But he said, your days are over. It's a new hour. God's going to bring you all into captivity, starting with the old. In the book of Ezekiel, the sword, remember the man with the sword? He came and started with the ancients.
Yeah.
God is one to judge the old order in this hour.
Amen.
That's in the church.
Yes, amen.
And begin to bring us to a place that we begin to search for him again.
Amen.
That we begin to pant after the living God.
Yes.
That we realize there's only one God.
Hallelujah.
Most Christians are no different than Hindus. We've just added Jesus to our gods. Amen. When my wife and I were missionaries in India for years, people would come and get saved, and then they would come and they would have this cord around their neck, which means they're under a spirit of witchcraft and they're controlled by the Hindu temple. There came a time we said, we cannot pray for you until you break that cord. And there's not many preachers that do that. You've got to break that cord with that temple. I know. And the reason they add Jesus to their group is he's the only God they know that can heal. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's been a growing religion in the earth today that, and we know what it's about. It paints a God that says there's a whole line of rules and regulations, and if you don't do these rules and regulations, you're punished. I'm talking about the Muslim religion. It's growing in America. It's popular. And the devil has lied to the people of the world about a God, and has given them a concept of a God who believed in slavery. And I'm telling you something right now. God will only allow that religion to go so far. For that religion has always wanted to take over the world.
Amen.
And you know what? We got a president right now that's going to put check on that. Not going to remove it. God's going to save the honor for himself. For at his second coming, God will deal with these religions.
Amen.
It's not going to be in America that's going to say, we put down the Muslim religion.
Right.
Us great Americans. It's going to be God Almighty.
Amen.
On the day of God Almighty. For the arm of the Lord is mighty in this hour.
Amen.
And he will bring to an end. But I'm telling you, he would only allow these religions to go on so far, and he'll be checking them. Every ruler would ever try to take over the world. Only was able to go so far before he's checked. Because God is about ready to bring it to the church. He can't bring it into the world until he brings it into the church. And what is that? He wants to get rid of the fatherless orphan spirit out of the church.
Amen.
And when the church has gotten rid of that, we are going to be ready to receive an influx of people into the house of God. And here's this man. And behold, there was a man named Zacharias, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He didn't need prosperity, he had it. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And these are some of the keys of searching, is that you want to know who God is more than what God can give you.
Yes.
And you also see yourself little in stature. Amen. And it's interesting, Zacharias' name has two meanings, one in the Hebrew, and it's an interesting, and this is how God really saw us. And I wonder if we ever wondered about how God sees us right now. And this is what it means in the Hebrew, a man that is transparent and pure before God. He doesn't look that way, he's a publican, he companies with harlots and drunkards. And yet before the foundation of the world, God knew what he would become.
Amen.
I thank God for his foreknowledge and predestination. And then what does he become in the Greek? What is it in the Greek? It means a benevolent man who believes in well-doing. In other words, who is a benevolent man? He's a man that takes the benefits of God and gives them back to God. Job did that. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Abraham gave Isaac on the mount. And while we have a whole church group today, before they join a church, they want to find out what the benefits are.
Amen.
What's the youth group like?
Yes.
How quick can I get a position? We got a big, long criteria, and this is what usually is the criteria, and it has to match their criteria. And usually in the right kind of church, usually one service, they'll find out. If the real prophetic word is preached, it won't take them long to find out that it's God's criteria in joining a church. We don't join a church because of the benefits. We join the church because God's called us to be there.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And we have all kinds of people coming in disguises. They want to be in the house of God. But this man ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And Jesus is passing our way today, and are we willing to let him search us out? Will we be willing to change our thinking, which can either be we've been high and mighty or we've been too low thinking? How many, each side is false humility? Especially the low side. Poor me. I mean, God delivered Gideon out of that complex. And we got both operating in the church today. We got the high and mighty who feel they deserve a position, and those who say, poor me, I used to be this and I used to be that, and I'm done now. And God visited Elijah under the juniper tree. And most of the time when you find trees in the scripture, it refers to Calvary. Except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How many know the tree that made the waters that were bitter sweet is Calvary? that is the cross. And the sycamore tree here is the cross of Calvary. And by the way, Zacchaeus is where Jesus always meant him to be, in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. He's in a, and you know, when Jesus is passing your way, it's easy to climb the cross. When Jesus is making an approach toward you, how many know Jesus can help you find the cross? And this, and when you look at most translations, this was not a normal sycamore tree. First of all, the word sycamore means rebirth, which speaks of born again. But this was a sycamore tree that had figs. And figs speak of life, peace, and prosperity. And how many know Zacchaeus is going to have it all as a result of being in this tree?
Amen.
The thing is, he wasn't looking for what Jesus could do for him. He wanted to look at this man and see him for himself. And there comes a time we need a personal revelation of Jesus. And I know no other better place to come but to the cross to see who he really is.
Right.
And there's still a lot of preachers. I've been there. We get angry, like Jonah. It's because we don't really know what God thinks of us. And I want us to leave this conference with a fresh seeing of the way he sees you. Nothing changes. So if some of you have felt like you have disappointed God so many times, and from God's side, you've never disappointed him. Some of you are going to be surprised when you get to heaven and say, "Son, I wish you'd have knew what I thought of you." Jesus' power would not have been released had he not heard those words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus knew the purpose, didn't he? He went into the waters of baptism, showing that he was identifying with his Father's purpose to die on the cross. But my brethren, it wasn't just the purpose. And we in the Deeper Life Movement love to preach the purpose. But God has something more for us. You know, when we're in the assembly of God, all we wanted to do is feel his presence. And I remember in Pentecostal meetings, my own grandmother shaking. It was like the Holy Ghost shivers. You ever be in a meeting like that? And I used to look around. There's nothing cold in here. But everything was the presence of God. The presence. And then there's the purpose. But you know what? There's something higher than both of those. The person.
Yes.
The person of Christ.
Yes.
You might know the purpose. You might be in this kind of movement for decades and still not know him.
Yes.
It is God's desire that you begin to find out what he really thinks of you. You're not going to get it from an earthly father.
Amen.
You're not going to get it from a preacher. You're not going to get it from anybody but him. Praise God. You know, as a preacher, it's up to me to make new discoveries in Christ and then pass them on. To hope that you make them. The Lord wants to change our thinking. And this is why we're in a predicament. Mark Twain, who died an atheist, said this, 90% of our problems are in head. The Lord wants our thinking to change. Jesus is coming to Zacchaeus not with a pamphlet on four ways to get saved. I mean, he didn't come with the Roman road. There was no Roman road yet. Jesus didn't come to him with fire and brimstone. Jesus doesn't come to him with judgment. And there's something worse than the judgments of God, and it's horrible. It's self-judgment. Who are we to judge? It says in Romans. If God be for us, who can be against us? Much of the judgment is in the church. If we're not judging others, we're judging ourselves. And God says, I want to change the thinking of that. And when Jesus came to the place, and here he is up in the tree. It's the cross, which points toward the heavens. And Jesus is standing on the earth. Thank God for the Gospel of Luke. For he stands where I am to minister to me. How many are glad of that? Amen. Here we are up on the cross, pointing toward the heaven. Where we are, where Jesus wants us. And yet Jesus comes to where he is. and ministers to him. And when Jesus came to him, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, I had a word, and I didn't release it, but I had a prophetic word working in me about the boat and about the hesitation. And Sister Moore, I think, gave the word. And the word hesitation was strong in my spirit. I could have jumped through the ceiling. My sister gave that word. And we are hesitating to believe what he thinks of us. And I believe that the Lord is coming to judge the judgment of the church, that we may be able to see ourselves as he sees us. There's no fire or brimstone message here, but this is a message, I'm coming to your house, which is a compliment to a Jew.
Amen.
You didn't need an invitation in the Jewish. If you wanted to come, they'd love to have you. That means you accepted them. It means you love them. It means you want to get to know them. Jesus does not come to him as a judgment, but he comes as a friend who's accepting. And I would love to have that, Brother Rick, on my gravestone. Burkelardi, a friend of God and man. Praise God. Forget my age. You don't need to put it on there. My mother used to say that her age was unlisted. Praise God. But yes, and some of you may or may not know this, but God has given me a divine assignment to be your friend. There's several of you. That doesn't mean I'm your apostle. That doesn't mean I'm your boss. That doesn't mean I'm your teacher, but a friend. Now, a friend will listen to you without condemning you.
Yes.
And they'll listen. That's why God gave me big ears. I like to listen to people. But a friend, you can speak in confidence, knowing it's not going to go all over the place. But if you're a true friend, you'll speak words of wisdom to people in time of need.
Yes.
Most of us don't want to go that far because we don't want to lose our friend. But I'm telling you something right now. Jesus comes to him as a friend. And there's many that have preached the kingdom and sonship, but never knew that God was their friend. I've been under ministries like that. They could preach sonship, but didn't even know that God was their friend. And the Bible says there's three realms, servant, friend, and son. And I'll never become a son of God until I know that he's my friend, until I know that God is with me, no matter what happened, what the squabble was. Look, remember the failure of Calvary. How many remember that? Those disciples scattered. But they had learned something through the Savior that you still need to assemble. There's power in assembling. And how is Jesus able to recover them? Because the principle of assembling was in their lives. They scatter for a moment, but then they got their wits together and they met up in that upper room, that place, and they waited for Jesus, and Jesus came to them as a friend. He said friends. He even called Judas his friend. And most preachers today don't know that God is their friend. That's why you get the fire and brimstone, the controlling, all these issues, because we don't really believe. And sometimes we've been so discouraged in our ministries and life, we feel like we've been let down by men of God because we were waiting for them to validate us instead of God.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, I am faithful. I called you. I will do it. These are some of the things, these are some of the areas that we don't want to go. And you know, it's interesting. The man seeing his own littleness is elevated to the heights of God. And he meets God. And what does man get out of this? Salvation. But what does God get out of this? A permanent dwelling place. For the word abide means a permanent dwelling. And he's saying, listen, I want to come into that home and I want to stay there. I want to be a regular guest in your home. I want to be the one that helps make decisions for you. How many are wanting the dwelling? But that's what our brother was talking about, the sanctuary. The purpose of the sanctuary is that God would have a permanent dwelling place. And how are we going to make God a permanent dwelling place if we feel that God's against us? And even self-blame. If I'm living in a realm of always blaming myself, I'm actually blaming God. Why? Because I am His creation and His workmanship. Who am I to point at me or anybody else? He is the potter. I am the clay. What right do I have to challenge the clay and the way He's fashioning it? Who am I to say, well, I did this wrong, and I did that right, and I did this wrong? You'll always find something you did wrong, and you'll find a lot that other people did. But God says, forget what the others did. You follow me. I am your friend. He's the one that's closer than the brother. But you know what? We start looking for human beings to be our friends. And they come and go. And the more you're in the ministry, the more friends you lose. Amen. But that's why I'm glad to go to a place like Columbia where I can find some new friends. Amen. We're losing them quick over here. Because soon as the word is a little different, the tone is a little different, people find a place of escape. But I want to escape into the hands of Jesus. And he made haste. See, there was no hesitation in him. How many see that? There's no hesitation. There has to come a time. How long are we going to wait between the two opinions? God loves me. He doesn't love me. He loves me. I tell you, He loves you. Amen. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many believe in the love of God today? You believe it for the next guy. Come on. You don't believe for you. God says, we need to believe it. That nothing has changed in God's point of view. Just because something's happened to your experience in your life, it's all for your growth. It may have nothing to do with failure, your discipline. It may have to do the way you've been praying. God, take everything. Mature me. Perfect me. And I've used this, remember, brethren in my church, you know, praying this thing, hollering up to God, and all of a sudden the dealings of God fall on me. And I said, brother, what's going on? I said, well, you prayed it. Don't blame the preacher like most do. Amen. God's saying, he's your friend. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, a half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much he's also the son of Abraham. And for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is a move of God and a visitation that God has in mind for the church. Praise God. And the way to get back on track is to begin to seek God for who He is and not what He can get. Amen?
Amen.
And our circles are just as bad. You know, deeper lives. I've been in circles where deeper life preachers are preaching about, you know, we're not to go after money, but then, you know, the first bill that was not solicited, we're worrying about our money. Makes us no different than the world. And we use all this terminology to be a cover up. We either trust him or we don't trust him. Amen? God is in this hour going to search out the sheep, and I'm going to just close with this message with a few scriptures, and we have plenty of time to lunch, by the way. We won't miss our final lunch. Praise God. I can't wait. Praise the Lord. And look, Ezekiel 34. He is searching out his sheep. He's searching them. He wants to find out what's inside of us. He wants to chastise our thinking from time to time. And the more intellectual we are, the more dangerous we are. We're lethal when we're too intelligent. God wants to get rid of the intellect, and he wants us to get our will. We ask for come in as a little child. But you don't understand, this is the way things have been going for this long and that long. God is still your friend. You stay on with God. Don't you run because things are tough. But stick with him. In Ezekiel 34, there's a move of God coming in the end time. And how many know we're already in the end time? The end times started when Jesus Christ preached the kingdom of God has come. We've been in the end time longer than the end time preachers know it. They're still telling us one day we're going to be in the end times. Well, we are in it. We are in it the day that Christ said the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. That was the day of the Lord. It started right there, and it will finish at his second coming. But we see here in Ezekiel 34, and I want us to be encouraged by these verses, for wherever you are, he's going to search you out. And wherever you are, he's not going to leave you there. He's going to deliver you. He's going to move you to where he wants you. Now, sometimes God does it with a gentle word. Move on, son. Sometimes, and some people are like, when I feel his presence, I'll move. Well, if that's what it takes, he'll do that. Sometimes it's a word of a prophet. I find the best thing that's worked for me and most of the church is the fire of God. Some affliction that I haven't ordered. Amen. See, if you get a meal in a restaurant that you didn't order, you can send it back. But you can't send a trial back that God sends to you. Now, Lord, here, please take this. Please, Lord. Couldn't there be something better than this? You can't do that. That is for you. You have to wear that. That's your trial. But he doesn't give you anything that he can't handle.
Right.
He's not asking you to handle it.
Yes, right. Yep.
He'll handle it. God is coming to his church in this hour. And Ezekiel 34, and we that are shepherds have to listen close to this chapter. Woe to the false shepherds.
Amen.
And I'll tell you right now, as a brother in Christ, I will not stand with a false shepherd. And you're in error if you do. And the Bible says a false shepherd, it tells them how they rule over the sheep. And there's a whole big long catalog, a list of the false shepherds.
Amen.
And the Bible says, woe to the false shepherd that are in this for themselves. And I'll tell you right now, Paul and Peter would put us to shame. With our so-called love, let's restore such a one. Paul and Peter would abhor that. When people fall into immorality, financial difficulty in ministry, a ruling spirit that have not been repented of. Peter and Paul had a way of dealing with that. John talked about a man. Remember that? He said there's a certain man that wants the preeminence. And if you don't flow with him, he said he will put you out of the fellowship. John says, I will withstand that man. My next visit, I will see that man. And John is this gentle little John. But John says, I will withstand. And that man's name meant preeminent. It meant that he wanted the preeminence. And God in this hour is training us for something more than just being lowly pastors. He wants to discern the true from the false.
Amen.
Amen. I can be with a man 5 minutes and I can tell where he's at. And Ezekiel 34, there's a judgment here upon the false shepherds. And the Lord isn't going to judge the sheep because of that. He's going to search them out and gather them. And I'll tell you right now, no matter how many times, and I've run into them, I've run into many false shepherds, but it never once dampened my desire to be in the house of God and to be identified with those that are rightly related to God. For there are some that go in hiding never to recover. Never to recover. But there's never been a time in my ministry, and I've had a number of Sauls, some of them up in Canada. My wife and I had a bad experience up there. But it did not at all stop the fervor for the brethren. It did not stop the desire to assemble with the saints. It did not stop any desire to seek out those that are truly his.
Amen.
For I believe that God is looking for those that are his own. If you belong to him, you'll look for those that belong to him. I look all over the earth and I tell these Colombian people, and they're weeping and we're talking with them, and I say, I go all over the earth looking for people like you. Amen. A young lady there we've been ministering to for a long time. She said, "Brother," I says, I never had a natural brother or sister. And I said, I so appreciate the body of Christ that I have more brothers and sisters than I could ever have. I never had them with a natural. And I said to this sister, I says, you would be definitely one that I would want as a sister, a natural sister. And she said, "Brother, I don't look at you anymore that way. I look at you as a father." It's wonderful when we can begin to move into a role of identifying with the pain of another. And a father is a friend, by the way.
Amen.
He's not just a boss. And I believe that this kind of thing is happening in the earth today. And let's look at this in verse 9 to 12. "Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against the shepherds, and will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves and more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them." God says, I'm going to put some of them out of business. "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, even I will both search my sheep and seek them out." Amen. Now, from God's standpoint, searching is, God wants to look at your thinking and your heart, and at any given time, he wants to be able to share with you if your thinking is wrong or if your motive is wrong. That's how God sees searching. Searching is something that goes beyond the outer exterior into the inside. You get a gift, a beautiful wrapping. How many know you're going to want to, you don't want to look at the wrapping. You want to open it up and see what's inside of it. And also, what this is what it means for us. Searching means seeking God, inquiring of God, and also worshiping of God. Now, the worship of God is not one peppy service that we felt better than we did when we came in. We got all excited when the music got toned up, and we feel great after the meeting. You know, we can't let off steam in the world anymore, so we'll do it in the house of God. But I'm going to tell you something right now. That's not worship. Worship is that my sacrifice matches the sacrifice of heaven. That I'm willing to give down here what he gave me. Praise God. That is worship. Presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. It's not limited to Sunday morning. But it's limited to a life that's sacrificial. That gives, amen. And there we are in Columbia. Oh, another person has to come and see us. Oh, another one. You almost have no strength. And yet every time the word of God is flowing in a one-on-one way. "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them from all the places where they've been scattered in the cloudy day." What is the cloudy day? The day of distress, the day of Jacob's trouble, the day before the great tribulation, for I believe there will be a great tribulation. I think we're in the beginning of sorrows, and we're also in the day of the falling away of the church. But the great tribulation is ahead of us. And the word says this, even in the dark day, which represents that great tribulation period, he said, I will gather them. Praise God. And that means no matter how distressful the time gets, God is going to gather his true people. He's going to gather them unto himself. "I will bring them out from the people. I will gather them from the countries. I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabitant places of the country. That I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. They shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel." How many are glad for the rest that God causes? "I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord." This is a day that God is looking for a people that will enter into their rest. He's going to feed you. Amen. No true sheep of God will be left to starve. No sheep of God will be left as an overcast. We've been thrown out, outcast. Thrown out, you're thrown right into the hands of Jesus. There's that man who got healed. Remember the story? They went to the parents to find out if this was a legit healing. And this man is actually thrown out of the synagogue because he acknowledges a healing. And I always picture the story, the guy's probably, and those, I don't know how violent they were, I always picture Jesus laying, this guy laying on the ground, and Jesus coming to him and saying, do you still believe? You might get thrown out for your faith, but you'll be thrown out to Jesus. Praise. Let us go without the camp bearing the reproach. We've all received the right foot of fellowship. There's not one of us that haven't. We got kicked out of Canada, right? We landed in India. That guy had a great foot. He could have made an NFL field goal kicker look bad. Brother Fell no longer could work with us. We got our pink slip and we were gone. And I said, well, Lord, if you want me to go into the wilderness, that's fine. And all of a sudden, the telephone started ringing off the line. And it was a Canadian Indian chief, and it was probably apostolic ministry. And I had ministered on the Indian reservation a number of times. And God has a great sense of humor. We're already finding that we need to go to East India. And this brother offers me a pastorate right in the midst of this calamity that we've been asked to leave. We've been put out of this church. And God says to me, your ministry is not over. And we ended up ministering to those people for 6 weeks, and then we ended up in India. We ministered to the Canadian Indian first and then over to the East Indian. God will tell you when your time is done. God is the shepherd of the sheep. He knows your next step. He knows where you're going to be guided. Amen? He knows what's happened in your past. He wants your thinking to change. It might alter your life. It might alter the course of your ministry. Many people, because of disappointments and failures in former pastorates, have given it up. Just think if Jesus would have given up the road to Calvary, we wouldn't be here. It's not time to give up. But it's time now to cast our disappointments aside and know that God is our friend and that He will gather us out. He will search us out. We will be where He wants us. How many are glad for that?
Yes. Amen.
Praise God. God is gathering His precious remnant. And I like the way this ends in verse 22 to 24. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no more be prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them and shall be their shepherd. And you need one shepherd right now, and his name is Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, there's such thing as under shepherds. I believe in the local church. I believe we should have a pastor, but I believe that our shepherd should be him first.
Amen.
My sheep will hear his voice. And we get in trouble when we listen to secondhand information instead of getting directly from his mouth. Amen.
Amen.
We need to know that. And I believe this is an hour when God is searching out his sheep. And all that you see in the word is not something for the by and by. It's going on today. And I thank God that every time I got scattered, I thank God for every cloudy day that's ever been in my life and every dark day that Jesus Christ appeared to me. Hallelujah. And did not leave me in that place, but appeared to me there. And I mean, that you have to stay in go to the place where he last appeared to you, for he's able to appear to you again. Abraham went down into Egypt and he had to go back. He had to go back to where he was in the beginning. In order to get his relationship right with God, he had to rebuild his altar. And this is the problem of most leaders today. We've allowed our altar to go to shambles. But God is calling us in this hour to come back to the shepherd of the sheep. Oh, the great shepherd of the sheep. How many are glad for him?
Yes.
Hallelujah, we have him today. I like the way he came to us again. He may want to come to some of you this way. The way he came to this man of little stature. No fire and brimstone message was needed. No word of correction about his past was needed. He just said, I want to be your friend. I want to move in. I want to come where you are. I want to abide. Does everybody see the true disposition of Jesus? And sad to say, the true character of Jesus is not being preached in much of the church realm. And that's why you'll find American youth would rather become a Muslim. Because that's the way they were trained. They were trained in an atmosphere of anger, misunderstanding, and so they go to the wrong religion. But like I said, those religions would only be allowed to go on so long before the God Almighty crushes it. Amen? And he's not going to allow that. That concept of God that tells us that God's against us and that God is not our friend. Oh, what a friend we have with this lovely Jesus. We'll never become a son until we become a friend of God.
Amen.
If I don't believe that God is my friend, how dare me to preach the message of sonship? If I'm defeated the rest of the week, if I feel totally alone, I love the Apostle Paul. He said, Demas has forsaken me. He's not brokenhearted because he's alone. He's brokenhearted because Demas has gone back into the world. But he said, Luke is with me. And God allowed Luke to be the man who probably walked with the apostle to the chopping block. Luke is the man who taught the word about a Christ who identifies with us in our greatest moment of suffering. It was Luke that was selected to walk with Paul. And he said, Luke, and he said, and then he went on to say, and the Lord is always with me. Oh, praise God. He is our friend today. There's none like the lowly Jesus. I encourage you today to change your thinking, because it just holds up the purpose of God.
Amen.
For the advancement of God in our lives, the promotion we're looking for, the end of our predicament. How many are looking for an end to that? It's only through Him. Ketadan, God, you are with me all the time. Forgive me for looking to this one and that one to validate what only you can.
Amen.
Don't look to pastors to validate you. Look to Christ to validate you. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Let's pray one more time before I turn the meeting back to Rick. Lord, again, we're thankful. Lord, that we might receive this exhortation and teaching, Lord, with true understanding. We want to leave your church in a position of knowing who they are. And God, we know what has transpired. But you come from time to time into our ruins and you breathe life. And we thank you today, Lord, that you will repair, Lord, all the waste places. Oh God, you will bring a mighty recovery to all those that are represented here. God, we don't want to even begin to mention the areas that we need recovery. But Lord, we ask that the friendship of our living God would break into our lives. Surely Abraham was known as the friend of God. And we desire that friendship like never before. We long for your nearness. We long to know, O Lord, that you are truly with us. And that all the disappointments and all that which has transpired in the past, as even as rubble, O God, as even as Paul would call dung. But we press on for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. I pray to the great shepherd of the sheep who go before us as we return to our places. Lord, with a new outlook upon who you are, O God. Lord, we cry out for those that are yet imprisoned, O Father, by false thinking. But Lord, we're just thanking you for that little man who found his refuge in the cross and found Jesus wanting to abide with him. And Lord, you are building a sanctuary where you alone will abide. And so we thank you, God, that you would make us a benevolent people. Lord, when we look at the Word of God, the restitution came without even a sermon. He was willing to give restitution because the revelation of your friendship broke through upon him. And Lord, if we have sins, we have an advocate with the Father. And so, Lord, we intercede for this people. We cry out to you, Lord, that we're cast down but not forsaken, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you've done in this conference. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives, the uniqueness of the processing of God that goes on, Lord. We say yes to your claims. We say, work, O God. Take what we've heard. Help us, O Father, to come to the place where you want us to be. For you know the next step. And I believe, Lord, there are many in here that has some decisions to make in the future days. Why sit we here till we die? Let us go to where we can live and receive you, Father. Lord, we pray that we will not just live on yesterday's manna, but that there'll be something fresh that we would receive from you. I bless this people. I thank you for gathering your sheep unto you. Lord, do a quick work to heal the wounds within those that need that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.